Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it's playoff Monday, y'all, and it's feeling good to be a Cowboys fan today. I've got a good feeling about tonight's game. I know if you're listening to this after the game and the Cowboys just got their asses kicked, you're probably laughing your asses off. But if they actually kicked ass, well, then ha-ha to you. But we'll see how the game goes tonight. But I'm actually feeling pretty good about tonight's game. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But anyways, before we get into the great games from Wild Card Weekend, I did drop a new music video yesterday for my single, The Queen of the Heartless. So you can check that out on my website, katietrop.net, or on my YouTube page, youtube.com/katietrop. Would definitely appreciate that. It was a fun video to shoot. And shout out to Jose Nahar with Nahar Media, who directed this video in pretty much every one of my other music videos of the past. So, yeah, check it out. Now let's get into Wild Card Weekend. And no, I will not refer to it as Super Wild Card Weekend. I don't know why the NFL needed to change it to Super Wild Card Weekend, but I am not going to be putting the word super in front of Wild Card. It is just Wild Card Weekend. And man, we had some fucking fantastic games. So it should be interesting to see how tonight's game ends up. But, I mean, pretty much every single matchup came down to one pivotal play. So let's get it started with it was the Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers ended up getting the win 41-23. For the most part, the Niners did dominate this game. But there was a brief period of time in the first half, and then going into like the first part of the third quarter, Seattle made this a very good game. They actually had the lead at one point. It was very back and forth between them. And but then in the third quarter, the pivotal play happened, and it looked like the Seahawks, they were in scoring position. They were either going to be getting 3 points or 7 points on this drive. And Geno Smith drops back to pass. And the Niners defense did what the Niners defense do, and that is they forced a fumble. Then they were able to run it back, set their offense up in good field position. And really after that, the 49ers just took off and really absolutely dominated this game. Brock Purdy had a very solid game for a rookie. He went 18 for 30, 332 yards and 3 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey had a solid game, 119 yards and 1 touchdown. And then Deebo Samuel, he also made an impact, 133 yards and 1 touchdown. And he had a huge run for a touchdown. The guy is just so difficult for everybody to even just take down a tackle. He's very squirrely. Like, you could get your hands on him and the dude just kind of jukes just a little bit, and it's like, boom, you can't get a hold of the dude, and he just runs for daylight. But the Niners did what they were supposed to do. The Seahawks, they made it a game, but then just after that fumble, it was just good night for the 49ers. So the 49ers move on to the divisional round. Then it was the Los Angeles Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And at first, this game looked like it was a fucking runaway by the Chargers. I mean, Trevor Lawrence came out and was throwing interceptions to the Chargers like he thought they were his receivers. I mean, he really got to know Asante Samuel Jr. of the Chargers, because he had 3 of the 4 interceptions that Trevor Lawrence threw in the first half. It was just insane. It was 27-7 going into halftime. So it just was like, at one point it was 27-0. So it just looked like it was not going to be the night for the Jaguars. Now, in the back of my mind, you know, I am thinking to myself, this is the Chargers. And if any team can blow it, it's the Chargers. And the Chargers did exactly what they did. Now, it was kind of funny because the announcers for this game were Tony Dungy and Al Michaels. And Tony Dungy was he was kind of giving his take on what he would be telling his team, because Tony Dungy was actually in this position many years ago when he was the coach of the Colts. The Colts were down something crazy. I can't remember. I think it was like 28-0. Might have even been more than that. But they were down by a lot at halftime, and they actually mounted, I think it was the second biggest comeback. And this one actually ended up being the third biggest comeback from the Jaguars. But so Tony Dungy was basically saying they shouldn't get away from their game. They could should just continue to run the ball. But also that the first two drives of this half are going to set the tone. And that's exactly what fucking happened. And it was funny because when Tony Dungy said that, sometimes I'll scroll through Twitter during games because it's just hilarious to see how fucking stupid commentary is said on there. And one of the stupid commentary was like, Tony Dungy's so stupid because he said they should just run the ball. And it's like, yeah, Tony Dungy actually knows what he's talking about because he actually, you know, coached in this fucking game. But anyways, I digress. So he was right. The first two drives of the second half worked out in Jacksonville's favor. Their defense came right out, stopped the Chargers. They didn't score shit, and it was a punt. Then the Jaguars got the ball on offense, drove right down the field, and scored 7 points. And it was just lights out from there from the Jaguars. They just kept chipping away at this lead and chipping away at this lead until finally they are within 2 points on the last drive. Now, let's just rewind a little bit to this, the previous drive. So the previous drive, Jaguars drive down the field. Now they get a touchdown. So they're going to go for the field goal, and until Joey Bosa throws a little temper tantrum and throws his helmet onto the field. Like, he's heading towards the sideline, and then he just throws his helmet on the field. Well, he gets a personal foul called there, and that moves the Jaguars right up to the one, like, the one-yard line. And so they decide to go for two. And I actually think they were going to be going for two anyways, but now they're for sure going for two. And they go for 2 points. And now, instead of making it a field goal game where they could tie it, it turns out now it's a two-point game. So the Jaguars' defense steps it up on the next drive, and the Jaguars get the ball back. And they drive down the field, and they have this beautiful, game-changing fourth and one play. Now, you got to give it up to Doug Peterson. As I said, this game was going to come down to coaching, and you damn right it came down to coaching. Peterson did not let his team fall back. Trevor Lawrence had 4 interceptions in the first half and did not give a fuck. He came right back and had 4 touchdowns in the fucking, he had 3 in the second half and 1 right before halftime. The dude came right back, erased those interceptions. The rest of his team didn't let him down. And then Doug Peterson just kept calling the same game he wanted to call. He did not let his team down, and they just stepped it up and believed in themselves. And then on this 4th and 1 play, 4th and 1, and it was inches too. It was inches. And so you're just thinking Trevor Lawrence is just going to run for this, and they're going to get the first down. Nah. Instead, what happens is everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence is going to run for this first down. No, instead, they turn to the running back, Travis Etienne. He runs outside where nobody is and not only gets the first down, but sets them up in perfect field goal position to win the fucking game. And the field goal kicker, he did make it really close. I mean, it was inches in the field goal. But the Jaguars would go on to win 31-30 in one of the biggest chokes of all time history. I mean, whoa. And it was just funny to watch. As I told you on Friday's show, it was gonna come down to coaching, and Doug Peterson took Brandon Staley's ass to school. And really, like I said, shout out to Trevor Lawrence for erasing those 4 first half interceptions. He ended up going 28-47, 288 yards and 4 touchdowns. That was a spectacular showing for the Jacksonville Jaguars and a horrible showing from the Los Angeles Chargers. Then Sunday's games, we had Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. This actually turned out to be a very close, surprisingly close game. I mean, at first, Buffalo came right out the gate and were blowing the doors off of Miami. But then all of a sudden, right before halftime, Miami really started to get it going, made it an actual game, and then it turned very sloppy. Josh Allen, he had a lot of turnovers yesterday. He had two interceptions, and then he also had a couple of fumbles, and one fumble actually ended up going for a touchdown for the Dolphins. Now, lucky for him, the rest of his team stepped it up, and then also Miami's big game-changing play was actually on their last drive. They had a fourth and one, and it ended up being called for a delay of game because they had to rush the play, and you could just tell it was not going to get off, but they also didn't have the timeouts either. So, unfortunately, and I guess what happened was is the coach wasn't aware that it was fourth and one. They thought it was a first down because the previous play, it was very close, but it ended up being a fourth and inches. And so they just did not get the ball off, and ends up being a delay of game and sets them back 5 yards. So then instead of fourth and one, it's fourth and six. Their quarterback is just left scrambling and is unable to complete the pass. And so Buffalo barely gets by with the win against the Dolphins, a very porous Dolphins offense. Definitely on the defensive side, they played a great game. You know, Miami wasn't really known for their defense this year. It was really all about the offense. But defensively, they really stepped it up. But as I said, Josh Allen, even though he had all the turnovers, he still had a really solid game. He went 23 for 39, 352 yards and three touchdowns. And then Stephon Diggs, he had 114 receiving yards and made a few big plays to set them up in scoring position. So Buffalo just eked this one out, 34 to 31 over the Dolphins. And it was a very sloppy game from them in certain areas. But hey, a win's a win, especially at this time of year. Then we had the New York Giants at the Minnesota Vikings, and this was a battle. This is what you call real-ass football, because really, in my opinion, one team really didn't get, nobody was flawless, but nobody had like a horrible, horrible game. It was really just really good football and just taking over and scoring and playing great defense when you needed to. And the Giants actually got the upset over the Vikings 31-24. And as I said, like usually when the Vikings lose, you expect to see this like horrible stat line from Kirk Cousins of a bunch of like interceptions. And don't get me wrong, the pivotal play in this game, it did come from Kirk Cousins in the last fourth down. They on their last drive, it was like I believe it was fourth and eight or fourth and six. I don't recall. It was one of the two. But anyways, they had this fourth down play, and when he threw the ball to Hawkinson, it wasn't even anywhere near the first down marker. It was like 3 yards away. So it was such a pointless call. Or just a pointless pass, and that was really the only blemish on Kirk Cousins' day. Overall, he actually had a very good game. He went 31 for 39, 273 yards and two touchdowns, but it just was really the Giants' defense clamped down, stepped it up when they really had to, and really got to give it up to Daniel Jones, even though I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. He's really stepped it up this season in particular, but these last couple of games as well. He went 24 for 35, 301 yards and two touchdowns, but he also had 78 rushing yards on the ground, and he really made some key plays on the ground. So the Giants just really stepped it up defensively, made some big plays on offense. Saquon Barkley had a solid day. He had two touchdowns as well, had a couple of really big runs that were the difference makers. And the Vikings, yet again, this is why nobody really believed in them from the start, just because even though they kept padding the win column, they weren't really convincing anybody. And unfortunately for them, this was the first game of the season that they lost that was a close game. And so they actually were undefeated in all of their close games this season, and this is the one that they lost. And like I said, it was a hard-fought battle between both teams. There really weren't a ton of mistakes. There really wasn't anything major going on. It's just the few big plays were made by the Giants, and they were able to just take over. And they are moving on to the divisional round, and the Vikings are once again going home. And then Sunday Night Football ended with the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. And this one was a close divisional battle. I actually am shocked at how well the Ravens played. A lot of people are kind of disappointed in how Cincinnati played, but to me, this was a division matchup. They just played the week before. They really don't like each other. And the Baltimore Ravens do have a solid defense. you got to really give it up to them. And actually, there was one point in this game where it looked like the Ravens were going to win the game. And guess what? It was that one pivotal play that changed everything in this game. So it was tied at 17. And the Ravens end up in scoring position. They are at the one-yard line. It's third and goal, but they're inches away. And the quarterback, he does what most quarterbacks do, and that is you just kind of reach the ball over the line. But unfortunately for him, the ball wasn't anywhere near over the line. And the Bengals did that play that almost never happens, but it sometimes on occasions does. And they cause a fumble. The ball literally lands directly into a Cincinnati Bengals defensive lineman's hands, and the dude just runs it back for a 98-yard fumble return to put the Bengals up 24-17, and they would ultimately go on to win the game 24-17 because of that major play. I mean, the Bengals' offense, for the most part, was held in check. Their defense, though, is what stepped it up, and so that was the big defining play. I mean, because overall, this was actually a very solid drive from the Ravens. Like I said, it looked like they were at least going to score the field goal, but just the one bad play cost them the game. And the Bengals will be moving on to Buffalo in the divisional round next week. And so we do have one more game tonight's Monday Night Football matchup. My Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dallas is still a 2.5-point favorite today. And all morning long, I've been summoning the Cowboys of the past Super Bowls. I want the power of Troy Aikman to compel the Cowboys, summoning Staubach and Drew Pearson and Charles Haley and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and all the Cowboys of Super Bowls past. Please pass your good juju on to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys because they fucking need it. They fucking need it against Tom Brady, the GOAT. Does not matter how shitty that team is playing, the GOAT, the 7-time Super Bowl champion quarterback, plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so we cannot overlook this dude. But as I said at the start of the show, I'm feeling pretty good about this game. You know, the Cowboys are the better team. Defensively, they're better, and they should have Tom Brady on his ass all night long. Offensively, they are better. They're a much more solid, complete team, so I just kind of feel like the Cowboys' ground attack is going to get going once again tonight. It's going to be a heavy Tony Pollard, Zeke Elliott night with Dak peppering in some CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz in some other areas for a couple of scores, I imagine. But I'm expecting this defense to really have a big game, big night. I'm expecting Micah Parsons to really show out tonight. And I do have the Dallas Cowboys winning 28-24 and sending Tom Brady off into retirement. Well, who knows with him? You really never know if the dude's going to retire or not. But let's just say that's what the Cowboys are going to do. They're finally going to beat the GOAT, as they have never done in the history of Tom Brady's career. They need to get this one win, and I think it's going to come tonight. So, oh, God, Cowboys of Super Bowl past, please, please just help us. Not only this week, but at a real Super Bowl run, that would just be nice. If we could just see a couple of good wins here would be really nice. But starting tonight, we're not looking ahead at possibly a rematch of last year's debacle against the 49ers. We're not looking that far ahead because tonight's the night. Do not overlook Tom Brady. Do not let this guy have the ball at the end of the game. And this defense has got to clamp down. And this offense, just please, Cowboys, please don't let us down. Do not let us down. We'll see how it goes, though. We'll see how it goes. Anyways, let's move on to the NBA and my top 10 NBA power rankings. We do have a new number one this week, and we actually have a couple of new entrants to the top 10 this week. So let's kick it off with the new number one. It is the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record right now of 29-13, and they are on a 9-game winning streak, which is why they shot up to the number one position. Actually, the number two team easily could have also been number one as well, but since the Grizzlies have been on a little bit longer of a winning streak, I went ahead and went with them. This past week, the Grizzlies got wins against the Spurs twice and the Indiana Pacers, And as I continue to say, this team is all about Ja, 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 Ja. And dude went off against Indiana, had this spectacular dunk, and just posterized the motherfucker. And of course, you know, Grizzlies are just, they're getting rebounds in the paint, and they're also averaging 117 points per game. So this team is just flying high, really dominating the Western Conference. And as I continue to say, this is the one team that really hasn't been hit hard by the injury bug. Ja has missed a couple of games, but even so, this team's riding high. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 30-13, and they are in a six-game winning streak. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and as I said, they could have easily been number one because they are just rolling this week. They're beating good teams as well. This week they beat the Lakers twice, so there's that. They beat the Phoenix Suns and the Orlando Magic, but they're just dominating when it comes to scoring. That right now they're first in the league in field goal percentage, shooting about 51% field goal percentage. They're first in the league in 3-point field goal or 3-point percentage, hitting about 40% of their 3-pointers, and then they're also shooting 117 points per game. So Denver is just scoring everybody out of the building, and Jokic even missed a game the other night. So even with him out, they're still rocking and rolling, and it looks like the Denver Nuggets may actually be a legit contender this season. We'll see, though. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics, overall record of 32-12. They are also on a six-game winning streak, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Chicago Bulls, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Charlotte Hornets. They are averaging 119 points per game, and just Jason Tatum, he is just killing it this season. He's the reason why they are. It really is him. There's a good team around him, but Tatum is just carrying this team. It's crazy to watch. And you know, speaking of another team that's really hasn't had to deal with the injury bug yet, that's the Celtics. Also, Tatum's just really been a workhorse for this team and carrying them once again as he did last year. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Philadelphia 76ers, overall record of 27-16. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Detroit Pistons, the Utah Jazz, the Lakers, and the Oklahoma, and they lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And there was a crazy ending to last night's Lakers game. But of course, the Lakers lost and the 76ers got the win. Joel Embiid, though, speaking of another dude carrying his team, that would be him. He is just on a murder fest this year. It's crazy to think because, I mean, there's a lot of guys having spectacular seasons right now where you're like, who would the MVP be? And if some of these guys keep it up, the Embiids, the Tatums, and the Jaws, and they keep it up at this rate, and then hell, still, you have Durant and Zion as well who are injured, but they could be thrown into that mix. It's just crazy to see what's going to come the second half of the NBA season because some guys are really just carrying their teams, and it's going to be interesting to see if the 76ers are finally able to put it together because I feel like they've been that team. It's just injuries have been not their friend, and that's what happened to them last year. You know, Embiid got hurt right before the playoffs, and that pretty much just kaput all of their championship hope. So if Embiid's able to stay healthy for this team, look out for the 76ers. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Brooklyn Nets, overall record of 27-15, 7-3 in their last 10 games. And I mean, they've been taking a tumble because of the Kevin Durant injury. This past week, they lost to the Celtics and the Thunder. And you could just tell, I mean, he was basically all their offense. And yes, Kyrie Irving's having a pretty solid season. We all know that dude's not going to carry them. But with the Durant injury, they've obviously started to take a tumble. They're still a good team, and they might be able to tread water until he gets back, and especially because they're in the Eastern Conference, so that also plays a little bit of a role in that. But, you know, they definitely need Durant to come back. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, climbing a little bit, the New York Knicks. Overall record of 25-19, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Bucks, but they got wins against the Indiana Pacers, Washington, and Detroit. And, man, Randall and Brunson are just carrying this team. Brunson had like a 40-point game the other night. Julius Randle, he is just continuing his reign of terror for the Knicks. And we'll see what this team's able to do, if they're able to keep it together. But so far, this last month of basketball has been really, really solid from the New York Knicks. And they might be a legit contender in the Eastern Conference now. I don't know for a championship, because I don't know if they're going to have any answers for teams like the Bucks and the 76ers when it comes to in the paint. But right now, Knicks are looking pretty damn good. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Miami Heat. Overall record of 24-20. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This week, they got wins against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they beat the Milwaukee Bucks twice. And you really haven't heard much about the Heat this year from me, just because they really have been a middle-of-the-road team, but they now finally seem to be getting it to putting it together, and they're looking really solid right now and getting some pretty good wins. Butler still continues to have a great year, and he's just, you know, being the leader of this team. Kyle Lowry really stepping it up also, but it's Bam Adebayo who's really, really having a solid last month or so of basketball, and the Heat looking to make a nice second half run here in the Eastern Conference. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 27-16. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks, and then lost to the Miami Heat twice. I mean, there really isn't anything bad going on with the Bucks. They're just a really solid team, a really quiet team, and you just can't ever count them out, because Giannis is having, he's another dude who's having another MVP season. The injuries have been the Bucks' main issue this season, but you can't count this team out ever. Then at number nine on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I never thought I would see in anywhere near the top 10, but they're here, and that would be the Sacramento Kings. Their overall record right now is 24-18. They are on a four-game winning streak. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they've actually been playing really solid basketball for the entire season. They've had their ups and downs, and they've had some really solid winning streaks. And right now, they're on a really good, solid winning streak. They've had probably a really good month here where they're actually really winning. They would be in playoff contention if the playoffs were to begin today. I know it's very early in the season to be discussing that, but that's how well they're doing right now. So I, unfortunately, had to put the stupid-ass Kings in my top 10. This week they beat Orlando, Houston twice, and the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, those aren't very impressive teams to beat, but you know what? Right now, the Kings are first in points per game. They are averaging 120 points per game right now. So the stats, you can't really deny the Kings anymore. I've wanted to. I've been kind of watching them, and I'm like, I can't put them in the top 10 yet. They're going to fall. Well, I finally had to do it this week. You know, they're playing really well. Don't know if they're a legit playoff team, but they're playing well right now. We'll see what happens. You know, De'Aaron Fox, he's having a really great year, and so is Sabonis. So, you know, the Kings surprisingly doing well so far for this season. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 27-17. And I mean, they really have only fallen because they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. So they've just been kind of up and down lately. This past week, they lost to Utah and Minnesota and beat the Portland Trail Blazers. Really nothing bad about this team. I do feel like they're kind of like a player away. So there's actually some trade rumors about them. So we'll see if they're able to make a trade that kind of helps them out just a little bit to kind of put them over the edge. But other than that, the Cavs look like a really solid team. I expect them to be a force all season long in the Eastern Conference. And right now, they're just in a little bit of a lull. And then just a little bit of more NBA news over the weekend. LeBron James became the second player all time to pass the 38,000 point threshold. The only other person to do that is, of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the current all-time points leader, which LeBron is on pace to surpass that mark at some point this season. And so LeBron became the second player ever all-time to surpass 38,000 points, which is a good congratulations to you. But the Lakers, they still suck. They're still one of the worst teams in the league. They're actually barely better than the Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs right now in the Western Conference. They're nowhere near even a legitimate playoff team who could even hope to even grab one of those last playoff spots. No, they're one of the shittiest teams in the league. So while LeBron is just racking up the individual bullshit, his team still sucks ass. So, whoopty fucking do. I mean, it's a great accomplishment, but God, the Lakers suck, and it's such a disappointment. But on that note, thankfully, I have the Cowboys game to look forward to tonight. Now, it is Austin time right now as I record this. It is 1:50 p.m. in the afternoon, so there's plenty of time to see what happens with the Cowboys here. I'm eagerly anticipating a win tonight, so we'll see if I'm sorely disappointed by Friday's show. Hopefully not. Hopefully I will be discussing not only them sending Tom Brady into retirement, but also their matchup, hopefully, against the San Francisco 49ers in the divisional round. But it's one game at a time, and shit hasn't happened, but I'm feeling good, y'all. I'm feeling good. I think the Cowboys are going to get this win tonight. And that's not even like fan bravado. I'm actually feeling light. I'm feeling like the Cowboys are going to have a good game tonight. And hopefully we're able to get the playoff win. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Hopefully I'll be happy with the results on Friday's show. But who knows? Even so, go Cowboys. Big game tonight. Let's send Tom Brady into retirement. Woo! Cowboys! Yeah! Super Bowl bound, bitches! I'll talk to you fools on Friday.